So this week we're going to be getting into a new series. We just came off of our Be the Church series where we kind of unpacked all the different ways in which God calls us to be the church as the person, as a people, as a place, and as a movement. And so in order to be the church continuing on, really, that requires the person to be called and to understand what that calling means on their lives. Each of us have been called to a very specific thing in the kingdom, a very specific purpose in the kingdom. What we want to call this series is that it's unusual callings, because no one calling is the same as another. And each of us, even Ashley and I, our callings were strange. Like, it's not a typical cookie cutter, cut and dry calling that we come out of, right? My life was completely different than Ashley's. We had very different backgrounds, very different upbringings. My calling happened at a totally different time in life than hers, and all of that, right? And so each calling is very unique and oftentimes unusual. And so we also want to just unpack the fact that God calls the weak in order for his strength to be made perfect in them and for his glory to shine through them. And we see that all throughout scripture. So through this series, we're going to go all the way up until Christmas Eve with this, where we're going to be able to unpack some of the unusual callings surrounding the Christmas story and the birth of Christ. But this week, we're going to be unpacking the unusual calling of the disciples themselves.
Right. So if you want to open up to Matthew chapter 4, if you don't have our app, we have a free app that you can download. It has a Bible, free Bible on there for you. So you can do that as well. It's Matthew 4, 18. And we're so excited for this because I think that we use the word calling in the church kind of loosely. We don't really know what that means. Have you ever said that God's calling me? Have you ever said that? Maybe raise your hand. Just be honest. God's calling me. And I think sometimes, you know, that's a general term that we might not really understand. What does that actually mean when God calls? And so we're going to look at that today. So in Matthew chapter 4, it's Jesus here. It says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him." You know, this is such an interesting passage of scripture. Who's read this before? All right, so a lot of us in this room have heard about this, but if you just stop for a second and read it with fresh eyes and kind of pretend like you're there, it's actually kind of an unusual thing, right? There's just a man walking along on the shore, and he calls out to these guys who are working, by the way, and says, "Hey, stop working and come and follow me." And while it's kind of a, you know, a known passage of scripture, I think it's good for us to take a step back for a second and say that's a little bit unusual, right? So we're starting off with this in our series of unusual callings. And what we want to pull out today, the main truth, and we hope that you can hear this for yourself, is that Jesus calls us in the middle of our everyday lives. He calls us in the middle of our everyday lives. You know, we want to say that because sometimes, like Cody said in the beginning, you know, we think in order to receive a call from God that I have to be ready to receive it. I have to be perfect. I have to know my Bible verse by verse, Genesis through Revelation. I have to be a Christian for at least 5 years before I can receive a call. You know, we have kind of all these stipulations about what it means to be called. Or maybe we think to be called is, you know, to be a pastor. You know, if God's calling me, that means I have to become a pastor, sometimes in Christian circles. But what we realize here when we see Jesus interacting with the disciples is that he just walks up in the middle of their everyday life, people, just people, and he calls out to them. He says, "Come with me." And you know what? He's Jesus, so he's 100% man, but he's 100% God as well. And so we know that he knows those disciples before they even know him. He knows all the mistakes they're going to make. He knows all their character flaws and issues and weaknesses and their good parts, too, of their character. And still, he calls them before they've even experienced anything. God uses what we know about who we are to speak into our lives and whisper deeper purpose. So he says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That language he's using there, he's speaking their language, right? They're fishermen, they're fishing for fish, and he says, we're going to turn that around. I'm coming into the middle of your life. I'm using language that you would understand to say, now follow me. We're going to put this to work, put you really, truly to work.
Yeah. So if the truth that we're impacting is that Jesus calls us in the middle of our everyday lives, then we have to ask a question, and that's, what does it mean to truly be called by Jesus? What does that look like if we were to unpack that? So from this passage, we see that our first point can be, it's an invitation to follow. What it means to be called by Jesus is an invitation to follow. So here's the disciples, right? The first four, at least. So we got Peter and Andrew, and we have James and John. And so they're all fishing, right? And they're probably at this point in their lives thinking they're going to be fishermen for the rest of their lives, right? At this point, I'm sure that they were just living out the careers that they assumed would define their lives, that we were going to fish for fish, right? That we were going to be traditional fishermen, probably what their families had done for generations, as that's how it kind of worked. And these were rabbinical school dropouts. They couldn't cut it. They weren't picked up by a rabbi. Typically, like, if you wanted to, you would have to go and ask a rabbi, hey, will you take me under your wing so I can learn from you, learn to be like you? And that didn't happen. So this is kind of their backup plan. It's like if they didn't get into the school they wanted, this is their safety, their safety career, right, is fishing. And so it was a family business. It was a noble career, certainly, but it's not something that little boys dreamed of, right? It's not something that while they were growing up was like, oh, I can't wait to be a fisherman. They wanted to be a rabbi in those days. That was like the highest calling. That was the coolest thing. That was who people looked up to more than anything else, was to be a teacher and a leader in the law. So here comes this rabbi. He's well known at the time, but nobody really knew who Jesus was the way we know him now. He was just this well-known teacher that was clearly like this genius in the law, to where he was having arguments and conversations with rabbinical leaders at 12 and stuff, right? He had this little boy, you know? And so this is this clearly amazing leader, and he comes and he sees these fishermen and he says, follow me. And I'm sure they would have looked up and said, oh, that's that guy. That's Jesus. That's that rabbi. Follow me. And what do? They drop their nets. Mm-hmm. They dropped their nets instantly and followed him. See, without that understanding of where they came from and the understanding that they'd been waiting for this, this is all they'd ever hoped for, right? Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense to just go, oh, okay. Like, who were these guys, right? Like, if you don't have that background, it just sounds like they're crazy, just like listening to whoever came along and said, hey, you wanna do this thing? Then they drop their nets and they go do that thing, right? No, it's because Jesus is this incredible figure, and they knew, this is everything I've ever wanted in this man. And so, of course, they drop their nets, even to the point where it says they leave the boat and they leave their father behind. And I'm guessing in that moment, their father was like, yes! Not to get rid of him, obviously, but my kids got picked up by a rabbi. Yes, I can't wait to go home and tell mom. She's going to be so excited about this. He was more than happy to lose that help because he knew this was so much more important, so much more valuable to his kids.
Yeah, and I wonder if they really understand what it meant to follow Jesus at that moment. When he says, come, follow me. I wonder if they understood what the next three years of their life with Jesus, and then the life that they would live afterwards, most of them martyred, you know, killed for their faith. If they really truly understood, what does it mean to follow Jesus, right? They just knew in that moment there was an opportunity in front of them, and they said yes to it wholeheartedly. And I think for us sometimes, you know, when we experience a moment with Jesus where he says, follow me, and that often comes, you know, at our salvation moment, we know that that is an invitation to follow. But there are other times in our life, right, where we have a choice, like a fork in the road. You can either follow me or you can continue down this road. Maybe it's a path of sin or whatever in our lives, right? This kind of come, follow me moment where you have to choose, am I going to drop my nets, am I going to drop what I'm doing in my life and say yes to him? And I think what happens is sometimes we get hung up on what is that going to mean? If Jesus says, follow me, we know because we've read, you know, the lives of people that have followed Jesus. I mean, there's usually sacrifice involved, you know, so I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to know, like, well, you just tell me what the next 10 years are going to look like, and then I'll decide if that's something that I would like to do. Okay? And I'll tell you, every single time that I've received a call, right, an invitation to follow Jesus, he's never given me 10 years down the road. He's given me, you know, just say yes. You know, have you ever had that moment with someone? You know, I was standing with my friend the other day, and his four-year-old daughter was standing on our stool, and he was behind her, and he's like, just fall back, you know, I'll catch you, like, trust fall, and she's like, no, like, you know, she's four, and that's her dad, and we're all trying to tell her, like, just do it, just say yes, just do it, and she's like, no, I'm not gonna fall back off this stool, because there's a chance you might not catch me, and that's just such an indication of our humanity, right? Like, we want to know if what's gonna happen if I fall. If I say yes, what's gonna happen? And I think sometimes, too, we're intimidated by a call. You know, here they are, just everyday fishermen, and they were, like, so excited. But sometimes when Jesus whispers to us, says, hey, I have something for you to do. I have something for you to put down. Here's an invitation for you to follow me. We kind of think, oh, I don't know if I have it in me. I don't know really, me? Could I even do that? And I love just their kind of childlike faith in that moment. The simplicity of saying yes to Jesus in this moment is what he is asking for. So when he says to us, when we are called, when he comes and he invites us to follow him with our lives, he just wants the simplicity of this moment right now, November 5th at 10:39 a.m. to say, yes, Jesus, I don't know everything that's going to happen, but yes, I will follow you. I will. You know, if someone would have told me 10, 15 years ago that I'd be having a third baby right now, I would have said no thanks. You know, like that was not in the cards for Matt and I until about 33 weeks ago, and I'm 33 weeks pregnant today. So, you know, our lives take twists and turns. If you would have told me 15 years ago that I'd be moving to Arizona, planting a church or whatever, or living in the middle of nowhere, you know, I was driving home last night from town, I'm like, where do we live? Do you ever do that? Like, why do we live out here? Like, and then you pull on the moon's beautiful. You're like, okay, I get it. But I mean, it is interesting. But if you would have told me that all those years ago, right, I would have just said, no, you're crazy. I don't want that. I don't have it in me. I was not the same Ashley Jennings 3 years ago, 2 years ago, even 33 weeks ago than I am today. And so we don't want to get hung up on what does the next 10 years look like? What does that mean if you ask me to follow you? What is that going to mean for my life? He just wants people that say yes to the simple invitation, come, follow me right now in this moment.
So today, maybe some of you have been putting off saying yes. Or maybe you're feeling right now you need the Holy Spirit calling you, drawing you, saying, come, follow me. Follow me. If that's you today, I would hope that you could make that commitment to say yes. Maybe mark on a card, that connection card, maybe write in there, hey, I really want to say yes to whatever Jesus is asking of me. If you need clarity, if you need help deciphering what that looks like, Ashley and I would love to meet with you and help maybe draw some of those things out. But ask yourself the question, what does it look like for you to say yes today? What does that look like? What do you think God might be calling you out of today to start following him in another area?
Yeah. So being called is an invitation to follow, but it's also an invitation to transformation. So he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I love that. I will make you. And there's this transforming presence about that word. I am the one that's going to make you into a fisher of men. You know, Cody wrote this down. I love it. He says, Jesus quells their thoughts of inadequacy in that statement. It's not on them to become who Jesus is calling them to be. Isn't that interesting? He says, you just say yes to the following, and then I will make you a fisher of men. You come, you follow me, and I will pour my life into you. I will invest in you. And they're thinking, you know, I'm going to be a rabbi or whatever they think, but little do they know, like, you're going to be the catalyst that will change the rest of the world. Like, that's what I'm going to do in your life. But I'm going to do it. I will make you fishers of men. You know, he knew who they were through and through. And he knew, you know, it's interesting with Peter, right? He knew that Peter would fail. I mean, if you know anything about Peter, literally at one point Jesus is like, get behind me, Satan, to Peter. He calls him Satan. You know, it's like, ah. But he knew all of that. But it didn't intimidate Jesus. He says, you come, you follow me, and I will be the one that transforms you in the process. I will shape you and mold you.
So part of the fear that we know of being called, though, is that thought that I cannot do this. I don't have this. I don't have it in me to be able to do that. And we talked about it at the beginning, right? A lot of us have this preconceived notion that being called into ministry means that you have everything together already. And I'll tell you that that is not the case for us. That is clearly still not the case for us, that we have all this together. But it just requires the boldness to say yes, mm-hmm. as we've been outlining. And the thing is, when you say yes, Jesus makes this promise. It's a twofold promise. Follow me and I will make you into who you need to be. So we all struggle with that inadequacy. Right now, every single one of us in this room, I'm sure, is thinking like, how in the world am I supposed to say yes? We often think we're not ready. Maybe my family's not ready. Well, maybe once we get into a better position in life, maybe then I can say yes. Maybe once work isn't so crazy, maybe then I can say yes to this and worry about those things. Or, you know what, I still have some stuff or some junk to work out in my life that I don't think I can be used in this time. But the thing is that God always calls us to things that are beyond our own capability. Because only in those moments is he able to shine through us. If we were already always able to do what he's asked us to do, then how would he ever get the glory? Mm. It's just us doing things on our own power, right? He has to be the one that grows us, that molds us, that shapes us, that turns us in to who we're meant to be. I love that image of God being the potter and we are the clay. What can a potter do with an already pre-made pot? One that's already been fired into the kiln. The only thing is you can break it, you can crush it down, turn it into dust, and maybe add it into some old clay. Mm. And you can reshape it. That's what it takes if somebody thinks they're already where they need to be. But if we're willing to surrender completely and say, okay, take me as I am, that lump of clay, that formless, shapeless lump of clay that some of us feel often, right? Then he can begin the process of molding us and shaping us, mm-hmm. and firing us into this amazing container for his spirit. And then he gets to pour us out on this world. His presence, his glory, his goodness, his grace on those around us. He gets to water that ground, that soil around us, and see amazing things grow, but only if we're willing to say, use me where I'm at.
Yeah.
Shape me, mold me, take me as I am. I believe you can do it because I know I can't.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. At the heart of this, you know, at the base level of this, Jesus is saying, you know, in their world, you know, I'm a rabbi, come and I'll make you like me. I'll pour in you and you could, you know, that's what they're thinking. One day I will get to become like this guy. I'll get to have the same knowledge, understanding, and, you know, wisdom that he has. But I wonder, you know, they didn't really understand yet the invitation to become like him, what that was gonna look like, really truly become like Jesus. You know, the Bible says that when we say yes to following Jesus, that we now are, they use his words, a new creation. We are in Christ. We've talked about that here. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are part of his family. We become like him. He does that. He makes us into this amazing image of God. And so, you know, as we talk about, you know, God's working and he's calling. We believe, we just went through this series, Be the Church, where a lot of you just said, like, okay, like, you have those cards in your bulletin, where I'll explain those again, but I'm all in. Lord, use me, right? You said yes. But as he does that, don't think that he's not going to bring you to a place where he's going to start transforming you. That's what he's in the business of doing, taking random fishermen and creating them into this new creation that the Bible says transformed by the renewing of your mind, making us like him. And so will you own today that you need a transforming work of God to happen in your life? You know, a lot of times it's scary to say yes to Jesus, but on the other side of that is just that question. Do you know, you know what, but I need a transforming work in my life. I need God to transform me because I can't do it on my own. We're talking to someone this morning and I was telling her, we say this all the time, we get to the end of our rope, we realize I'm missing something in my life. Something's, I'm not doing it right. I need somebody else to step in. I've come to the end of myself. Part of saying yes to Jesus' call on your life is saying yes to his transforming work in you. Will you lay down control today of trying to do life on your own? And will you say yes to Jesus' invitation to make something out of you and make something in you? I'm going to say that again. Will you say yes to Jesus' invitation to make something out of you and something in you?
Yeah.
Also. I have the next point.
That's fine.
Uh-huh.
You can keep going.
Okay.
That's great.
Oh, gosh. The third thing, what being called is an invitation to kingdom purpose. So in that simple statement, he says, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And for them, you know, that was going to look a certain way. But at the heart of that is this idea of he's inviting us into kingdom purpose. You know, we already said he spoke their calling in a language only they would understand. And they probably didn't understand the whole, like, what does that mean, right? Like, okay, like, how do you fish for people? But they knew that Jesus offered a purpose greater than the one they were serving. Right? They knew, you know, I'm kind of just all about fish right now. And here comes this amazing guy and he's saying, come and I'll do something greater with your life. Something about what Jesus said to them spoke deeply to their hearts. And that's what it's like when he calls us. I really believe that. It's like that. It's like it speaks deeper into our hearts about what's kind of in there. Because at the heart of every human being, we truly believe, is this desire for real, lasting, important purpose. Real, true purpose. What am I here for? Have you ever just thought, like, is this it? Just be honest. Have you ever just thought that? No one in this room? Okay, there's a few people. Yes, okay. Just me, I guess. You know, is this it? Is this all that I'm here for? You know, I was cleaning the house last night, and I'm like, bah! You know, do you ever just think that when you're like, why do I have to do laundry? You know, is this it? Is this, I mean, life is made up of all those tiny little moments. Every once in a while, we get a big grand moment, but it's like in those tiny little moments, it's easy to think. Like, you know, you kind of get that whispering of, I think I'm made for more. I think I'm made for more than laundry and floors and going to work 9 to 5 or whatever it is. Because at the heart of every human being is this desire for real, lasting purpose. And so when Jesus said to them, I'm going to come, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men, it spoke to that. It spoke to that human being nature that God has built into us for something greater.
Yeah. See, the kingdom purpose is foundationally rooted in the advancement of the gospel, right? But it's also specific to every single believer. We know that we're all called to go, right? Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize. Each and every one of us who calls ourselves a Christian, that's what we're called to do. But there's so many different ways to go about doing that. And it takes each of us owning our purpose in those ways to see that happen. The people that you are called to in your context are people that I can never reach, that Ashley can never reach. Only you can reach those people. And you have been equipped and called to uniquely reach them because you are uniquely you. Mm-hmm. You have your job. You have your family, you have your friends, Nobody else does. So the kingdom purpose that is on your life is to be a kingdom purpose-filled person that sees the kingdom move forward in your context, in your unique context. Mm-hmm. See, it's only when we understand that, because that we have that unique purpose and that unique calling on each of us, that we really see where we can start going. Otherwise, it's this way too broad of a picture. Often we think, okay, God, I'll serve you. I'll do what you said. You said go, so okay, I'm going. And then it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing though. Like, I don't know what's, where am I going to? Who am I talking to? What am I supposed to be saying? There's no guidebook for each of us as individuals, right? There's nothing that says like, okay, now you do this and this and this and this and this. But the thing is once we say yes and we're equipped and he starts molding us into who we're supposed to be, our eyes slowly start to open to the world around us, mm-hmm. to that kingdom purpose. I worked for a kitchen and bathroom remodeling company for like 8 years in Sacramento when I was there. And I would say the first 5 years I was there, I moved to Sacramento to do ministry. And so I was a worship leader and leading a small group and that kind of stuff. And I slowly kind of moved into a assistant pastor role there eventually. But those first 5 years, I don't really think I had much conversations about God there. And so I moved there, right? I moved to Sacramento with the purpose of going and being at a church and doing ministry, but I wasn't really doing ministry. I was just playing music at a church. And I was talking about Jesus in my home, in the comfort of my home, with people who had signed up to come and listen, right? Like, that's not super crazy, right? That's not like really, really getting out there and, you know, being brave. It's like, oh, you want to hear about this? Okay, I guess I'll read this thing that talks about Jesus, right? So it's only once I started realizing, like, man, I'm called here too. And that was scary. Mm-hmm. It was terrifying. Even someone, I was going through the DBMD process, which means like I'm going through the process to become an ordained reverend, right? I'm even going through that. And I was terrified of talking to my coworkers, these gruff, like, construction guys about Jesus. But you know what? Eventually, I got a Bible study going. My boss, one morning, he stopped me early morning at work and he like said, Cody, can you come in here? And obviously like something was going on. And he said, Cody, I just don't know who else to talk to. My mom tried to commit suicide last night. Can you just pray? And so like got to close the door with my boss and pray with him. I had no idea what I was gonna say or anything. But you know what, like I prayed, but it was only because like I said yes to there. But if you don't say yes, God's not gonna provide you with opportunities, mm-hmm. right? He's not gonna let other people like come to you and then you have to turn them away because you're not ready. Once you're ready, then man, opportunities started coming out of the woodworks, right? Like I saved a man's life. Literally, he was choking and I gave him the Heimlich like maneuver. I'd never done that before. All I could think was Mrs. Doubtfire. And I'm like, what happens in there? So you just like kind of shake him around and like, you know, and like I saved this dude's life and he like looked at me and like I gave each other a hug and we're both like, yeah, that just happened. That was crazy, you know, but in that moment, like that was a connection and I got to talk about Jesus with him after that and say, you know what, like, man, why don't you come to church? Why don't you hear some more about like, since your life has just been saved, like you kind of owe me one. So like, why don't you come to church and hear about why I moved out here, right? But like every door became a ministry door, you know, but I couldn't see that at the time, you know? And then once I started growing in that, then all these other opportunities started coming up. And then all of a sudden church planting started coming on our horizon and Ashley and I are starting to talk about things. And that scared me to death. Like I can't plant a church. I have no clue what I'm doing, you know? And then all of a sudden like Red Rock's coming up and we're out here. And, but just like Ashley said, 10 years ago when I was still, well, it's probably 12 years ago now, when I was still living in North Dakota, like I could have never in a million years guessed that I, 12 years later, I will be planting a church in Red Rock, Arizona, being a pastor. Like I figured I was always gonna be a behind the scenes guy. You know, like I'll just try to help out here and there and read my Bible a little bit and hope that's good enough, right? Like I never in a million years would have thought that, but that's the thing. When kingdom purpose comes into your life, when you're invited and when you say yes and he says, I'm gonna create in you something, you aren't supposed to be able to see it. Mm-hmm. Right? You're not supposed to. That's okay. because God is going to get the glory. We get to stand here, up here together and say, it's only because of God. We met each other in those DBMD classes trying to learn how to be a pastor and learn to be a reverend and stuff. And like, that was a God thing, absolutely. Only because God has shaped us and molded us. Nothing I've done, nothing I have ever done on my own warrants any success in my life. Mm-hmm. It's only what God's done in and through me and for me, the way he's blessed me. At the core of who we are, we all desire a great purpose in our lives. Yeah. And I'll tell you, here today, standing here today, like, knowing my purpose is the greatest freedom I've ever had in my life. Because it has simplified things now, but I've had to get through that. But that's what everybody wants. Don't we all want to know your purpose? Don't you want to know that? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know every day, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm doing. This is who I'm going to go talk to. This is who I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to share. I know exactly what that is, right? I'm going to continually always grow, but for the first time in my life, I know my specific exact purpose. But that's only because I've said yes to allowing God to shape me, break me down into depths that I never wanted to go, but was willing to because I was done. See, we want legacy to be part of our lives. We want that purpose to turn into something that impacts other people's lives, our kids, our grandkids. I was talking to my dad. I shared a couple weeks ago that he got diagnosed with colon cancer and prostate cancer, which two separate cancers at the same time, unrelated. One didn't cause the other. So it's like this crazy, crazy thing. But I was talking to him this week, and he just had surgery. I was talking to him right before he had surgery, and I just asked him how he was doing, and he said, you know what, like, I'm just looking at this as an opportunity to bring glory to God, to do whatever I can, even if I die, even if I don't wake from this operation that I'm going to have to remove this big tumor, like, even if that happens, like, I want to do whatever I can now to make sure that God gets every bit of glory for the good in my life. And I said, Dad, you know what that is? That's legacy. No matter what happens at the end of this, because that is your attitude right here, right now, I'm never going to forget that. Mm-hmm. He has every right to be scared out of his mind. But because he chose the other side, put fear away, put doubt away, and to put his complete and total trust in God and to have peace, that is now his legacy in life. Yeah. Regardless of what happens. Mm-hmm. The surgery was successful. We're still going to find out all the details of what his treatment's going to be. But you know what? He's praising God, and he just messaged me this morning, I've never felt closer to God in my life than through this. God's shaping him. Yeah. God's molding him. God's creating him and who he needs to be for his purposes, right? So all glory can be given to him. What do you need to say yes to today? God's got a journey for you. God's got an incredible plan, and there's no way you can see the other side of that, I know. But right now in your life, if you're feeling like, man, I don't know my purpose, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I don't know where I'm supposed to go, I don't know how this is all going to work out, I promise you, if you choose to say yes today, to open yourself up to the transformative work of the person of Jesus Christ, your purpose will come through, and your life will radically change in ways you never thought possible.
Amen.
All it takes is starting with a yes.
That's good. We have the worship team come forward. You know, they're calling and reading this. It is unusual. Why would Jesus pick fishermen to be the foundation of something that would shape the entire future of humanity? But I hope that you find comfort in that. If they're mere fishermen, then Jesus can use you too, okay? If he can call and shape and transform and bring purpose to the lives of normal, everyday, broken people in Scripture, he can do it in your life as well. But it just starts with a yes. It just starts with a whatever you want, God. I can't see down the road 10 years. I don't know exactly what it means, but he wants people, his people, to be yes people. That when he calls, no matter how unusual it feels or how out of the box or scary, that we would be people that say, absolutely, yes, yes, And so at Village Church, we say sometimes, you know, that we believe that people need moments with Jesus. They need moments where we need moments where we say, you know, on that day and that service and that time is where I committed and I said yes. And so we're going to give you that opportunity today. I'm just going to have you bow your heads. I'm just going to ask if there's anyone in here that has not ever said yes to Jesus, never, and you're just hearing now that he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you want to enter into a relationship with him and find out all that that means, even though you can't see down the road, you don't know exactly what it looks like, but you want to say yes today to him, would you just raise your hand? Just give you that moment. Thank you. Just want to give you that opportunity. Second, if you're realizing that Jesus is inviting you to follow him, and maybe you said yes at your moment of salvation, but it's kind of come up recently that, you know what, I'm not actually following him. I maybe said yes at one point, but I've kind of gone off the path, and I'm kind of following whatever I want now. And you want to say today, you know what, I hear you, Jesus, calling me, inviting me to follow, and I want to say yes. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thanks, guys. If you're realizing that you are someone that needs a transforming work of Jesus in your life, and you understand, you know, Jesus is, he's calling me, and I've said yes to the following, but I also need to say yes to allowing him to transform me, to work in me, to mold me and shape me, to get to the end of my rope, to say, I don't have the answer, I can't do it. Would you say yes to him this morning? Would you raise your hand? Awesome. And lastly, if you just feel this kind of burning in you, like we talk about that greater desire for real, lasting purpose, and maybe today you just want to acknowledge that purpose is not going to be found in anything the world offers. It's in Jesus Christ himself and what he offers. And you want to just kind of surrender to that idea today. Lord, you've made me for something greater. And I'll say yes to it. And you're going to take me on a wild goose chase of a ride, but I'm willing. Would you say yes? Would you raise your hand? Awesome. When we say yes to Jesus, when he calls us, he can do amazing, miraculous things. Amazing things. And I know those of you that raised your hand today, our prayer is that it's not just, you know, a quiet thing that you never revisit, that this would be a day that kind of reshapes the future that you walk out of here. I'm going to pray for us. Before I do that, I did want to mention, in your bulletin, there was our Be the Church cards, and we passed those out last week, and what that means is that, you know, then this is the ultimate yes, okay? We believe that God is moving in an amazing way at Village Church. We have a huge vision that he is bringing to fruition, a huge kingdom purpose. We're getting ready to start our next church here soon, and in Gladden Farms, and there's so many other things that are happening because of what the Holy Spirit is doing here. We've had, I think we had like 5 or 6 people say yes to Jesus just 2 weeks ago. Just 2 weeks ago. It was like the most amazing thing. God is still at work. And so what we're trying to do is gauge who are the people that are saying, absolutely, I'm all in. I want to be part of what God is doing. I believe I'm saying yes to that call that Jesus has on my life. And so you have a card in your bulletin, and we want to know where you're at. We want to know, and it's okay. You know, there's 3 things there. There's I'm all in, 100%, whatever that means. I don't know exactly what it means, but I'm all in. I know the Holy Spirit's whispering to me, and I want to be all in with the vision that God is doing here in Red Rock. Second is kind of this, I want to get more involved. I'm not all in, but I want to get more involved. And the third thing is, I don't know. I'm still filling out the waters. I'm not sure. And so if you would just, we want everyone to fill that card out. If you want us to contact you about that, we want everyone to put their name on it. But if you would like a contact, put your phone number on there. Okay, and we'll be in contact in the next couple weeks with you. And then we have these stations to the left and right and in the back. And you can get up at any point during our response time now and put those in there. So as we go into worship, I mean, there's a lot to think about here in saying yes to Jesus. And so I'm just going to pray for us as we go in. God, thank you so much for the way your Spirit is moving in this place right now. Lord, thank you. You've just moved in the hearts of your people, so many raising their hands to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Yes, Jesus, transform me. I'm done doing it on my own. Yes, reveal your purpose. I say yes to it. No matter the sacrifice, no matter what that means, I want what you have for me. Lord, I know that you're just pleased. The Bible says, make vows to you and fulfill them. And Lord, we pray that we would just be people that follow through on the vows that we make, God, that it's not just a moment on a Sunday, Lord, but it's a catalyst, a pivot point in our lives. I pray that we would see fruit from this word that has gone out today, from the response of your people. Move in us in this place. Lord, we worship you now, and we just say thank you, God, for speaking to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.